Isn't this a sports show? Almost entirely.
What is going on?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
But yeah, I think this segment just went to Marconi.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
So I have a cough button in front of me.
You do.
That I'm not sure is actually my cough button. Let's find out. Nope, that's not mine.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
The computer mouse and I are feuding today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You need nothing like that.
I went left and it went right. Literally, that's what it just did.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, so I saw Star Wars last night. I'm not going to say anything. Beards and I figured out yesterday that I would be allowed a three-word review. Are we still cool with that? A three-word review? And it's not going to be something like
porgs, porgs, porgs.
Disagree. No, it's the three-word review isn't going to be something like it was Jabba, where it's a spoiler in three words. I'm not going to do that to you. But I figured out today that I need two separate three-word reviews.
That's allowed.
Because they're about different things. Also, we're going to talk a bunch about Chiefs-Chargers today. I'll tell you the reasons that I think the Chiefs will win on Saturday, and then also the reason that I might be wrong. We'll do all of that very, very soon. But first, my two three-word Star Wars reviews. First, the Porg review. This is a review, my three-word review, exclusively about the Porgs. Can I get another boom? Three-word review is... I'm in love. That's all. That's all I'm going to say. That's my three-word Porg review. Now for my three-word review of Star Wars.
The actual movie.
The Last Jedi. The actual movie. Better than 7. Now that could mean a number of things to you, because I don't know what you thought of Episode 7. But that is my review, my non-spoiler review, simply a thumbs up, thumbs down. For me, better than 7. Has your interest been piqued, Beards?
7 was really good. I mean, I was going to see it anyway.
I didn't love 7, though.
I like 7 a lot.
So that is tainting my review. I think it's clear. I think this was clearly better than Episode 7. I didn't love Episode 7.
I thought 7 was really good.
It was A New Hope with a higher production value. That was Episode 7. It was a Episode 7 remake, reskinned, higher production value. But I know that I haven't changed anyone's mind about seeing Episode 8 because everyone's just going to go see it. Which you should. Just go see it. But for me, you got 6 words. 3 of the Porg variety and 3 of the movie overall. I do want to talk about it. I'll probably talk about it on Monday, I'm guessing.
Hopefully I've seen it by then.
If not, you've got to see it by Wednesday, because Wednesday's show is just going to be the last Porg recap, basically, whenever Charlie is here. We might even see if we can get Charlie to jump in on Tuesday for like a Star Wars segment or something. We'll figure it out. But you've got to see it this weekend. Are you off tomorrow?
No.
You're working tomorrow?
Yep, Chiefs.
Oh, right.
Yeah, my weekend's flipped this week.
But you're off Sunday then.
I am.
Go see it Sunday.
That's what we're planning on.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot for a moment that the Chiefs are playing on Saturday, which I also just learned like 5 minutes ago. There are 2 games on Saturday. I think it's Lions-Bears earlier on Saturday, and then obviously Chiefs-Chargers is the night game. Here's where I'm at right now with the Chiefs. I was a skeptic through the first 5 weeks. I was about right through that middle stretch. I was apoplectic through the losing streak against bad teams. And then I was, again, skeptical leading up to the Raiders game. I am now, contextually, with the rest of the Chiefs fan base, I think I'm relatively hopeful, relatively optimistic. Because there were some things in the Raiders game, and even some things in the Jets game, that I think bode very well for this week. Also, by the way, Mitch Morse has been moved to injured reserve. His season is over. Zach Fulton will start at center. Brian Witzman will start at left guard. So that's, you know, all that will fight your optimism, I suppose. I think they'll be fine, though. I think that's fine. Mitch Morse wasn't the same after his initial injury. So him being out the rest of the season isn't a death blow. But here's why I think the Chiefs win on Saturday. Tomorrow. Chiefs game tomorrow. Here's why I think they win. I think they win because of the conversation we had yesterday with Kent Swanson about how the offense has changed with Matt Nagy. There are a couple of different ways you can bring an analogy to the table. I've said that I think that Andy Reid needs an editor. He's a great writer who sometimes needs somebody to come in and kill his darlings, as you say in the literary world. Hey, listen, we're not throwing this to Cam Irving on 3rd-and-1. We're going to do this run-pass option that gives Alec Smith a chance to look at all the mismatches.
No, George, you can't write a 2,000-page book.
Beards loves Game of Thrones so much.
I just love that story.
What do you mean, story? Is there a story?
He literally tried to write book 4 to be like 2,000 pages, and they said,
wow.
No, George, you physically can't make a book that big.
Yeah, I mean, that seems impossible.
Like, the bindings don't allow you to make
right,
a book that big.
Right, sure.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your reference. It all ties in.
Andy Reid is George R.R. Martin. As Beard is wearing a Game of Thrones hoodie today. Is that a new Game of Thrones hoodie?
No, it's an old one. I just haven't worn it in a while.
Okay. I like it. It's good.
I do, too.
So Andy Reid is George R.R. Martin. He's got a wonderful story to tell. Sometimes he just does it too verbosely. Matt Nagy is a guy that Reid has allowed to challenge him and allowed to, if you want to change analogies, to use his ingredients differently. Andy Reid has shopped for the ingredients, has prepped the ingredients, and even has a recipe that he's given to Nagy. But since he's taken over play calling duties, Matt Nagy has cooked it differently. He's made some tweaks. He's pieced these ingredients together to make something different. Or at least a little bit improved and a little bit fresh. I'm believing in the refocused offense with Matt Nagy. What about defensively? Seth Kizer, friend of the show, we've had him on a bunch. He wrote an article about Darrell Revis. He did a film review of Revis against the Raiders. And here is a single paragraph of his film review of Revis. The number of plays Revis was completely in the pocket of his wide receiver outnumber the plays where he was beaten in coverage. For most corners, good coverage isn't that good. It's very tough to stay right next to a receiver, almost brushing up against him without either losing your feet due to tripping or accidentally making enough contact to get a flag. You can really see why Revis was known as Revis Island for all those years, even now. When his coverage is on, it is on. Revis was really good against the Raiders. Something we thought we knew, but Seth went through an era. I think the article just came out today. He did the film review and showed you exactly how good Revis was. And it's good news. Now, also, Marcus Peters returns on the other side of the field. Keenan Allen's a very good receiver on a very good stretch right now. Phillip Rivers is a quarterback that can always put together a couple of big plays, maybe a big drive, and put the opponent back on their heels. But I feel pretty good about a Revis-Peters tandem after we saw from Revis last week, and assuming that we get a somewhat refocused, or at least a certainly ready-to-play Marcus Peters. So I believe in Peters and Revis versus Keenan Allen in that pass defense. More on the pass defense, Gary McKenzie tweeted out that Phillip Rivers' last 7 games against the Chiefs have included 5 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, a 68.7 rating, and an 0-7 record. The Chiefs are 7-0 in their last 7 games against Phillip Rivers, and I think there's something to that. What about Melvin Gordon, a tremendous running back that adds to the threats of this offense? Again, from Gary McKenzie. Since week 9, the Chiefs have allowed 3.59 yards per rush. That's good for 5th in the NFL during that time span. I believe in the Chiefs' revamped run defense. I think that all bodes very, very well. Now, the Jets game was problematic, but Revis wasn't ready. And Peters was Marcus Peters. He was good, was kind of alone, and that game was maddening for a bunch of reasons. I think the defense is going to have a pretty good game this week. I think the offense has found kind of its new strategy. I feel pretty good about the direction that this is headed. Now, I also can only be optimistic for so long before the cynicism returns. Here's why I could be wrong. What about Hunter Henry? This is a place that the tight end is something that opposing teams should be going to far more often against this Chiefs defense. Because in the absence of Eric Berry, the Chiefs haven't really found a great way to slow down opposing tight ends. And through week 14, Hunter Henry was the highest graded tight end in football via Pro Football Focus. In fact, it's Hunter Henry, Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, Delanie Walker. That's pretty good company. And that gives the Chargers kind of a similar offensive trio to the Chiefs, where you get, I would take certainly Travis Kelce over Hunter Henry, but I think you can put Melvin Gordon and Kareem Hunt on a similar plane. I think you can put Keenan Allen and Tyreek Hill on a similar plane. I think you can put Phillip Rivers and Alex Smith on a similar plane. The Chargers have a very versatile offense, and they have a lot of weapons. I'm always a little bit worried by Phillip Rivers, even though he hasn't given me a reason to be in the last 4 years against the Chiefs. But I'm never going to say that a Phillip Rivers-led team has no chance in a game. Certainly not in this one, where it's two relatively similar teams. Also, the Chargers have been on fire recently, but let's look against who. They beat the Bills when Nathan Peterman started and threw 5 interceptions in the first half. They scored 54 points because Peterman kept giving them the ball back. They wanted the Cowboys, but the Cowboys didn't have Ezekiel Elliott. I think they also did not have Tyron Smith back for that game. Then they beat the Browns by 9 points at home, no less. And then they beat Washington last week. A Washington team that I don't really know what to make of. So you beat Nathan Peterman, and then a Cowboys team in a slide, and the Cleveland Browns, and then Washington struggling. The 2 weeks before that, they lost to the Jags and the Patriots. Before that, they beat the Broncos and Raiders and Giants. I think that's a fair place to put the Chargers. You can say, all right, well, the Chargers are better than Washington, Cleveland, Dallas, Buffalo, with Nathan Peterman, the Raiders and the Giants. but they're worse than the Patriots and the Jags. I think that's interesting because that's pretty much exactly where the Chiefs belong also. And that's like the exact same space that those two teams occupy. And yeah, the Chiefs lost to the Bills and to the Cowboys, but that was a different Cowboys team, a Cowboys team with Ezekiel Elliott. That was a different Bills team, frankly, because it wasn't a Bills team starting Nathan Peterman. I think these are two very comparable teams, even on the other side of the ball. Joey Bosa, 11.5 sacks in the year, young pass rush star, is going to keep the offensive line busy. Justin Houston's going to have to do the same thing. Chris Jones is going to have a similar game to what he had last week to stay in stride. Melvin Ingram, another tremendous young linebacker. Reggie Ragland's going to have to do the same sort of thing to contain Melvin Gordon. Just like they're going to be trying to contain Kareem Hunt. These are two very similar, evenly matched teams. The Chiefs have the apparent intangible advantage because Philip Rivers and the Chargers haven't been able to beat the Chiefs in nearly 4 years. And I think, and both of these teams, frankly, are trending upward. Although the Chargers are trending upward from a lower point or from a higher point than the Chiefs are. The Chiefs are trending upward after, you know, getting blasted by bad teams. I am super excited for Saturday. Also, I'm going to be at the game, so if you hear this these dulcet tones screeching a question to Andy Reid afterwards, you'll know. But I'm excited for this game because this is basically a playoff game. This is basically for the AFC West. If the Chiefs win this game, they have no reason to lose to the Dolphins or at the Broncos. If the Chargers win this game, they have no reason to lose at the Jets or versus the Raiders. Now, the Jets have lost Josh McCown. The Raiders have lost all hope for the Chiefs. I don't buy into the Dolphins. And the Broncos have lost Trevor Siemian. He's been put on injury reserve after his injury last night, by the way. Remember when I said last night that it just seemed completely bonkers to me that the Colts were getting 3 points, and I was confident the Colts would win the game straight up? I told you that I was not giving advice. The Colts lost by 12. Don't take my advice. And also, if the Chiefs somehow have their season ended with a loss to Brock Osweiler in Week 17, I'm going to do something very drastic. Like, I would just come in that Monday with, like, literal gray hair. I'll dye my hair silver. Or I'll just shave it off so the Chiefs maybe pull my hair out. That'll be a good joke. I'll come in with, like, hoop earrings on. I don't know. Something drastic. I'll come in with a porg tattooed on my face. That was another option for my three-word review, by the way, was new porg tattoo. But I figured I couldn't like show it to you right now, so I'd have to explain it with more words. It is actually something I was still currently designing, not something I had gotten since yesterday's show. Or since last night when I got out of the theater at like 2 a.m.
I figured those were pretty high demand and have to wait in line for a while.
The tattoos?
Yeah.
There are some already. If you Google pork tattoo, you will find a few. But also, do make sure that you're keeping an eye on what you're searching, because if you search pork tattoo, there is a decent chance that you're going to see my left butt cheek.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
NFC South, I mean, that's okay, and I'm coughing.
Beards, take five, would you? Just get out of here.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
So Beards is sick again
today? You just are sick and coughing constantly. Like, is this allergies again? Do you have a cold now?
No, I think this is a cold.
Stay away from me, please.
That's why there's a giant pane of glass between
us. I'm not going to come over there under your side of the glass at all today. I want you to stay away from me. I've got to be on an airplane a week from tomorrow. And if I am sick while I am in Arizona for Christmas, I will be unbelievably upset with you. And I will blame you.
I figured.
Yeah. Keep your immune system up, please. Zach tweeted, you can always tweet questions and everything to me at JB Briscoe. And I asked before the show for questions about Chiefs, Chargers, any questions or concerns you may have as the game gets a little bit closer. That's tomorrow, so it really can't get that much closer. It's basically here. Like, it's 24 hours away at this point, almost. Also, like, I feel like the show has been low energy today, and I don't know what to do about it. I don't even, like, bring... I bought, like, a backup energy drink. I don't remember where it is now. I don't even know where it is. It's not with me.
Hopefully you didn't put it in the shared fridge.
I don't think I did, and I don't think I would have, because
I think all of them are shared fridges at this point anyway.
Right, right. They're all... This is why we can't have socialism. It's because you got people like everyone who lives in this building, or works in this building, just thinks everything is theirs. Never shares back. Yeah, so I feel like I feel like we're just... Like, again, Beards is sick, and... I'm working every... I'll have worked like a... Literally like a month. Every day for like a month. By the time I do leave for Arizona. Which is fine. I'm not really complaining. It's just kind of like... It zaps you, you know? I want to go home and sleep. Anyway. I don't remember where I was going with that. Just that today is chill. Just like even the bump music Beards came back with. It's like... Just, you know, just kind of down here, kind of down in this registry. Hey, welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. This is how we're doing it today. How are you feeling?
Do you want me to throw some more upbeat stuff in the next few?
I don't know if it's going to work or not. Even, like, your voice, hearing you talk makes me tired because I hear you're the sickness. But could you turn my microphone, like, way up so I don't have to talk so loud? As always, you can tell a little. Can you go a little hotter on it? Just turn up the whole way. I'll manage the level. There you go. As always, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe. Any questions or comments you may have about the show, about the game coming up. Zach Allen did that. He's at 715 Chiefs on Twitter. Zach, thanks for the question. Zach said, how sustainable do you think even this meh offense will be instead of the really bad and really good offenses already displayed?
You sound really weird.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Wait, explain how this is weird. What is weird about this?
Just the tone of it.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Very robotic-ish.
It is kind of robotic.
It is.
That is a tweet came in from Zach Allen. On Twitter. It is kind of like, did you just turn it back down? That's for the best. Okay, fine. Okay, so Zach asked, sorry, today's show is so weird. That's what I was explaining. That's what I wanted to get to.
It's taken 5 minutes to get to a tweet.
It hasn't taken 5 minutes to get to a tweet. We took a nice little pleasant detour. That's the detour that I was taking. With like, oh, today feels weird. That's what I was. I wanted to say sorry that today has been so weird so far, and it's gonna just be a weird show, and weird like on our own terms, not weird like compared to a normal sports radio show. We already knew that this was weird compared to a normal sports radio show. I mean, like weird compared to our usual brand of weird. Just because we're kind of like down here today, and I'm sorry. We're doing our best. Zach Allen tweets me on Twitter and says, how sustainable do you think even this meh offense will be instead of the really bad and really good offenses already displayed? So as I was saying earlier, I'm buying in to a revamped
offense. And when we talked to Kent yesterday, sort of the definition of the run-pass option was, it's not, I think it was averaging them like 5 yards a play. And that is kind of the definition of a meh offense. And I think it is sustainable. The question now is, does Alex Smith go deep? Does Andy Reid draw up what is required to get him to go deep? Does Matt Nagy call the plays that has him going deep? That's where I think this offense ultimately gets decided. I think they've reestablished a baseline. That was the problem through that losing stretch, is the offense had no baseline, had nothing to go back to. I think that's where the Chiefs are now. They needed to reestablish the baseline. Matt Nagy has reestablished the baseline. They have the run-pass option. No matter what's going on, they can pick up 5 yards if they need to reset. Now it's a question of if they can build on that. I think the base is there, though. I think the foundation is back. Or, or there is a foundation now that is new. And I'm good with it. Now, it's not going to look like the first 5 weeks because this is a different foundation. There are different pieces being brought in here. Different ideologies being put into place. But with that, I feel pretty good about the offense. I know it's kind of silly because they scored a bunch of points against the Jets, but not enough. And they beat a Raiders defense that is not good. I know that that's a little bit, it's a little brave. It's a little risky. But I'm buying in. So I do think it is sustainable. And I think it's going to be good enough for the Chargers-Dolphins-Broncos stretch. And then if the Chiefs do win the AFC West, then it's the wild card teams, which would be, it's probably the Ravens and someone else. So maybe it's the Bills or the Chargers, actually, would be up in the conversation. But it's the Bills or the Chargers or the Titans, one of those teams comes to Kansas City, or in all likelihood, actually, it would just be the Ravens if they do maintain the best record. Right now at PTI, they're asking the question, would a win make you believe in the Chargers? I think you could ask that question more openly. I think you can just say, whoever wins this game gets the benefit of the doubt. The Chiefs had it for 5 weeks and then gave it up. The Chargers gave it up and then tried to win it back. Tomorrow night is going to be the chance for both of these two teams to win the benefit of the doubt back. Or for the Chargers, I guess, for the first time. And I'm doing the thing that I wouldn't do last week, where I'm trying to project and predict. I said last week, I'm not going to pick the Chiefs until I see something. I saw some things last week that make me feel like I can try to get ahead of the curve again, which is where I would rather be, where I usually am, to be quite honest. I'm usually one step ahead, all of you followers, all of you lemmings. All of you porgs. I think that's kind of a false equivalency that I made there, but I wanted to say porg again. There's a really good, I've sent this shirt to my mother as the last second Christmas present that I must have. It's like a retro style Star Wars porg shirt. I'm going to wear it every day. I'm going to wear it every day for the rest of my life.
Oh, man, Clinton Yates on Twitter. I'm not going to even say the conversation that he started because it involves a character from Star Wars. But he posted a comparison. I'll tell you this. It was a LeBron Jordan comparison, but between two Star Wars characters. It's so. Have you seen it already, Beards? Okay, I won't say it then. But it's just really great. And I want to talk about it so bad because NFL Network just had a commercial with, just had a Star Wars promo that reminded me of it. And it's a really good analogy. Also, did you see that the Jets offensive coordinator said that, like, yeah, we were just trying to get out of there whenever the Jets and Broncos were playing last week? He just said, like, yeah, man, it was getting ugly. We needed to get out. So we just sort of threw in the white towel. White flag. Wow, I mixed a couple of metaphors there.
I'm sure that's going over really well, by the way. Nobody in New York's upset, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's like, it's a talking point.
They're very calm people, those New Yorkers.
Yes.
Excuse me, I happen to be walking here.
It is. Sorry for trampling over your joke. I didn't see that coming. That was good. In fairness, it was like, again, I don't even know if it was Bryce Petty or Christian Hackenberg. I know that they are two quarterbacks on the Jets depth chart. That is the only thing I know. I don't even know which one of them was playing last week after McCown got knocked out. I guess I could go look.
I'll look.
Okay, thank you. I hope it was one of them. I mean, I guess it could have been somebody else I don't know about, but I'm pretty sure it was one of those.
Petty.
Guys. Was Bryce Petty?
Yep.
Fantastic.
2 for 9, 14 yards.
Oof. Oof. 9 passes for 14 yards?
9 pass attempts.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know, yeah. It's not great.
His long was, I can't tell if this is rushing long or his passing long. 7, either way.
Wow.
I think that was his rushing long because he only had one and it was for 7 yards.
That does indicate that's probably what that is.
Yeah, probably.
Holy cow.
Really good.
Very good. It's a very good game from them. Anyway. I am buying into the Chiefs' revamped offense. I am buying into the defense being settled in. And I'm picking the Chiefs to win this weekend. We'll find out if that is necessarily a good choice that I have made. When has it ever bitten me to believe in the Chiefs?
Never this year.
Never once. Never my whole life. Especially not this year. Currently on NFL Network, they have stockings for Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, and Alex Smith. And they just put socks in Alex Smith's stocking.
Is it going to be cold this weekend?
I think it's about, like, what Christmas presents they're getting.
Right.
I'm waiting to see how these emojis pan out. I'm thinking maybe it'll be like coal for Dak, socks for Smith, gold for Rodgers. And it's like a hierarchy, like which of these guys would you want? They go, well, listen, getting socks for Christmas isn't the worst thing, but I would rather have Aaron Rodgers. Right. Dak, wait, hold on. So Alex Smith got socks, and Dak Prescott got a Cowboys logo.
Looks like a black Dragon Ball.
I think it was just a Cowboys like emoji.
Really weird reference by me, I know.
Very strange.
It was the first thing I thought of. I didn't even watch that much.
Like, I kind of wanted to stick on this segment until
they see what Rodgers is getting.
Yeah, until we see what Aaron Rodgers is getting for Christmas. Okay, let's go. Here we're going to see. All right, everybody ready?
Wow, they've got a whole selection there.
Ready? Aaron Rodgers for Christmas is getting a... He's picked 3 emojis so far. A VHS and a video camera and a laptop, maybe? this, wow. This is terrible.
Well, we know who the favorite child is in this family.
That's true. Unless Dak Prescott got the entire Dallas Cowboys organization. No, but this has been a truly atrocious segment.
For us or them?
And also NFL Network has had a truly atrocious segment. Yeah, thanks for trampling all over the joke, Beards. You're a real team player, you jerk.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
We have one laughing emoji reaction so far to the show. I'm going to assume that that's laughing with us.
With Joshua Briscoe.
God, I hope so.
On ESPN Kansas City.
There's one thing I did neglect to mention for the game tomorrow. One other reason that I could be wrong about my belief in the Chiefs. I have no idea what Alex Smith is going to be. And somebody, I wish I would have pulled this up, I don't remember where it was from. Somebody was writing up, though, the most, they're just sort of predicting the quarterback market in 2018, saying that, as the Chiefs gave up draft picks to the Buffalo Bills to go get Patrick Mahomes, that they thought the Bills would end up giving one of those picks back, or some picks back, to the Chiefs for Alex Smith. Which seems really bizarre to me, because I would just stand pat with Tyrod Taylor, if that's your goal, but whatever. The one thing that has been good in the last 2 weeks is that I do think it's going to be easier now for teams to look at that really terrible stretch of Alex Smith games as an anomaly, not as a indicator that he fell off a cliff in that moment. At the same time, I'm also a little bit nervous about tomorrow because, like I said last week, it was a pretty full frontal Alex Smith game. The week before against the Jets, it was a better game, but they lost. The weeks before that were really atrocious. Weeks before that were really good. And I guess there were some kind of meh games in the middle there. His stats are great. The quarterback ratings and Pro Football Focus ratings are great. But the offense is extremely talented. And I'm not sure what to expect on Sunday. Like, if Joey Bosa gets 2 sacks in the first quarter, this whole game is probably over. Which is a really terrible thing to have to contend with. It's a really terrible sort of, like, cloud looming over. But if Joey Bosa hits Alex Smith hard twice in the first quarter, Alex Smith is going to be jumpy the rest of the game. And I'm pretty sure the Chargers are well aware of that. I'm also pretty sure that they're aware that Zach Fulton is playing center and that Brian Witzman is playing left guard. And that Eric Fisher hasn't been great this year. I'm pretty sure that Joey Bosa is going to get moved around and that the Chargers are aware of the fact that he can derail the game for the Chiefs really early on. And I think that's a pretty reasonable concern to have. Also, somebody tweeted in, let's see, Clint Perry tweeted in and says, Terrez Paylor and the A-team of the Kansas City Star came to the consensus that they would all take Smith over Rivers. What do you and Beards think? Beards, you're asked this question also. But so I think I would prefer Rivers still. I think Hill and Kelsey would excel with a gunslinger. And then just in parentheses, he said, Mahomes, which is exactly how it should be said every time. I know you weren't paying attention because you were having a conversation with somebody of some sort.
Yes, I was.
That's fine. But Clint was asking if we would take Smith or Alex Smith or Philip Rivers. And he asked what you and Beards think. You were also asked. Go ahead, Beards. What do you think?
I know Rivers has, occasionally he has those games where he just kind of explodes.
You find his stats, actually, yeah.
He has, every once in a while, he'll have that game where he has like 400 yards or whatever, and it's just, gosh, you can't stop this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Smith doesn't have that. I don't know if Smith is more consistent.
Well,
it feels like that sometimes. I don't watch much
like
Chargers.
But yeah, God bless, too. Like, you shouldn't. Although, again, they've been a whole lot more fun recently than the Chiefs have. Phillip Rivers has 100 more yards on the season. He has the exact same number of touchdowns. Both Alex Smith and Phillip Rivers both have 23 touchdowns. Alex Smith has about a seven points higher quarterback rating. And also for their careers, Phillip Rivers is better, period, everywhere. Holy moly. Alex Smith has 180 career touchdown passes. Phillip Rivers has 337.
Wait, read the stat again.
Career touchdown passes.
Uh-huh.
180 for Alex Smith. 337 for Phillip Rivers.
That's a lot.
That is stunning. And that's in 6,300 career pass attempts for Rivers and 4,500 career pass attempts for Alex Smith. He's definitely thrown less. But that is not an equal pacing. That is crazy. I would be extremely tempted if that trade, if there was just like a warp button sitting in front of me that I could hit right now and just switch them out. I don't think I would do it for the rest of the season. Beyond just the practical reasons, because I'm ignoring the practical reasons. Like, well, it's the system, and you got to, you know, start a new quarterback for the last three games of the season and then the playoffs. I'm ignoring that. In a vacuum, if I was, no, I'm going to say that I would just, in a vacuum, I would still prefer Phillip Rivers. And I know he's looked washed at points this year, but if I was a bad team, I think I'd prefer Phillip Rivers because he'll win you a game. And if I was Andy Reid, if I was an offensive genius, I think I'd prefer Phillip Rivers because he allows you to do more. I think you can make a veteran gunslinger a little more conservative, much more easier than you can make a veteran conservative quarterback more of a gunslinger, which is where the Chiefs are. And Rivers has looked bad at points. I'm aware of that. Smith has also looked bad at points. I think I would take Rivers by just a paper-thin margin. And also, I would absolutely hear out an argument made for either side of it. I don't think it's an insane conversation by any means. But I'm right there. Also, I read somewhere, again, like it was a write-up of, ooh, here's the Rookie of the Year candidates. And it really is, we talked about this earlier this week or last week. I think it was earlier this week. Kareem Hunt is, like, still the favorite. If he has three good games to close out this season, he's probably going to win the AFC Rookie of the Year, which is nice. Just because Deshaun Watson got hurt. I guess it doesn't really matter. It's kind of nice. Like, oh, you have a good, it shows that your general manager of the Browns, John Dorsey, made a good pick. That's nice.
Yay.
Woohoo. I need external like an external reward system to convince me that a good thing has happened. I can't just believe that it's good. I need the recognition of the NFL. Also, did you see that Michael Bennett wasn't fined for diving at the knees of the Jags offensive lineman last week, which is what started that giant brouhaha?
No, I did not see that.
He was not even fined after Juju Smith-Schuster was suspended for a game and lost a game check for hitting Vontaze Burfict and then taunting him. That was a suspension. Michael Bennett didn't get fined a penny for kicking off that whole thing last week that almost ended in a fan's death. That's completely bonkers. And also, if you didn't know this, and you probably did because you're listening to this show, so I guess you probably know this, the NFL doesn't care about player safety. It cares about the perception of player safety. Now, like, big hits to the head, everyone goes like, oh, man, that's bad for that dude's brain. We have to do something about this.
Safety tent.
Right. So you have the concussion tent now. What about Michael Bennett diving at a bunch of linemen's knees? You can end a season, maybe a career that way. Well, that's not, the NFL's not getting sued about that. There are no lawsuits because guys' knees are being destroyed in this game.
It's not a sexy thing to penalize, I guess. I'm also still pretty stunned that they didn't, because the optics of that whole breakdown were terrible. Penalizing something for bad optics is usually pretty on point with the NFL. Anyway, I think the Chiefs win this week tomorrow. I don't have to pretend that it's a whole extra day away. Tomorrow. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I'm not super confident, but I hope that you understand the reasons that I've put into it, the reasoning behind it. But it's two very evenly matched teams in pretty comparable situations, although the Chiefs have been on the downturn and the Chargers have been on the rise up. And a must-have game for both of them to keep this division within reach. I'm looking forward to this game also, which is something I hadn't done for a while. For a while, Chiefs games had just sort of made me sad as an idea. I am looking forward to the Chiefs and Chargers because I know that it's going to be good.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.